He groans, lifting his hips to meet mine. We're out of control, in a lust-filled hell. There's no stopping this. I need him, and I don't know why. I don't have a conscious or clear thought in my head as his hands scour my body, his fingers undoing my bra and discarding it before I remove his shirt. We're on a crash course, and nothing can stop this. His hands cup my breasts as he groans in pure delight. He gently pulls my nipples between his fingers, setting my insides on fire for him. Pulling one to his mouth, he sucks, savoring it while releasing the sexiest growl from deep in his throat. I push him back down against the bed, reaching for his pants to unbutton them. The look in his hooded eyes is wild. He wants me, needs me, just as badly as I need him. He hisses as I pull the zipper down, the bulge straining against his jeans, making me warm all over. He grabs for my pants at the same time, lowering them as I step out of them quickly. Everything is happening in fast motion. It's as if he knows, given a second to think, I'd stop this immediately. But I'm not thinking, not about anything, but this feeling deep within me, a need for pleasure. A need for deep-rooted connection to him. I dip my hand into his boxer briefs, watching his face change as I wrap my hand around him. He's so warm, so hard, so big. He groans, throwing his head back as I stroke the length of him. I can't get enough of the faces he's making, the erotic sounds slipping through his luscious lips. It's intoxicating and addicting. I want more. I crave him.
Cole.
He groans again, his mouth dropping open.
Fuck.
I'm fascinated by the sudden power I have over him. I continue stroking him in my hand, marveling at his size before he grabs my wrist, stopping me.
Come here.
He commands breathlessly. He pulls me up to the top of the bed, laying me on my back, wearing nothing but the underwear I put on beneath my clothes this morning. His lips start on my stomach, planting kisses until he finds my breast. He licks my nipple, wrapping his mouth around it. That lip ring dragging along my skin, the look in his eyes as he peers at me through his black hair that's fallen like a veil, slightly covering his vision. Everything is churning my insides. He leans over me, grabbing a condom from the shelf, looking at it, then looking at me with an unsure face.
What we're about to do is wrong.
He rips the condom with his teeth, spitting out the edge of the wrapper.
So wrong.
I can't focus on anything but him before me at this moment, his broad frame towering over me. Watching him roll the condom onto his manhood as he looks at me like a starving animal. My pheromones are on fire for him. The desire radiating from his skin, exuding nothing but pure, passionate lust from his eyes, from the way his muscles flex as he prepares himself for me. He leans down, settling himself between my thighs.
Please tell me not to.
He whispers against my mouth. He wants me to stop him. He always does. But there's no extinguishing this fire between us. It's out of control and it needs to run its course, burning through everything until there's nothing but ash left to settle.
You have to tell me you want this,
he says cautiously. I press my lips to his and kiss him before pulling back and reaching between us to remove my underwear. I need this. Please. I've lost all self-control beneath him. Whatever regrets that will come with this will have to wait. Settling back between my thighs, he brushes himself against me, making us both suck in a breath, before angling himself to my entrance. We gaze into each other's eyes as he pushes into me, achingly slow. My eyes wince as he slides deeper and deeper.
Oh, just a bit more?
He says in a strained tone, attempting to reassure me as he stretches me like I've never felt. He drops his forehead against mine once we are fully connected, stilling for a moment for me to adjust.
Oh, you're as perfect as I imagined.
He whispers under his breath, eyes falling closed. I'm stretching around him as pleasure spreads throughout my core. I feel so full and so numb and so amazingly charged all at the same time. Huck, I whisper breathlessly. His eyes find mine and something changes in him.
Cameron.
I swallow, confusion hitting me.
Call me Cameron.
He says, gazing from my eyes to my lips and back before wincing his eyes tightly at the feeling of being inside me. I've never felt so connected to someone as I do at this moment. I don't know what to do with that. Cameron, I breathe out. He opens his eyes quickly at his name, and I see him. I see his soul through those troubled eyes. He's affixed to me now, just as I am tethered to him. He begins moving out of me as we stare at each other. He picks up the pace, almost synchronizing his emotions with the increasing rate of his heart. I hold on to his neck, opening my hips for him as we connect again and again. The soft tenderness slowly changes into a forceful collision. If I had any self-control left, I'd care about the sounds I was making, but I don't. I moan and cry out as he thrusts into me, his hoarse voice and sounds filling the air right along with me. He wraps my thigh up and around his hip, holding on tightly for leverage as he urges me deeper and deeper into the darkness with him. His lips connect with my neck right beneath my ear. His tongue darts out, alternating between licking and sucking motions, before his other hand cups my breast firmly, then softly kneading it. Everything feels so perfect, like it was destined to happen. It needed to feel this good just to solidify any doubts.
Oh, you're ruining me.
He groans against my lips.
God damn it, Cole.
I feel myself peaking, the pleasure right in my grasp now. As if he can sense it too, he wraps his other hand around the back of my neck, holding me in place as he drives into me, watching my face closely, studying my eyes, my lips, the crease between my brows as I lose control. I cry out, closing my eyes tightly as I come undone like I never have before. I feel myself tighten around him as hot waves of pleasure course through me. He doesn't stop. He just keeps going as I ride through the orgasm, feeling an electric pulse flying through me each time he fills me. It's the longest, most amazing feeling I've ever felt. His head drops to my shoulder and his thrusts get sloppy and slower, as my fingers grip tightly into the skin of his back. He finishes with a deep groan against my skin, the pants from his breath felt against my neck. As soon as he finishes, we stay connected, slowly coming back down to earth. I feel the flood of regret swarm me immediately as I hit the surface, pulling me under its suffocating waters. The tears well in my eyes as I stare at the ceiling. I can't believe myself. What have I done? He lifts his head, swallowing to catch his breath to look at me. He takes in my change of emotion, his eyes looking back and forth between mine.
I told you to tell me to stop. I begged you,
he says, shaking his head as my tears spill down my cheeks. I know, I don't know what I'm feeling. I feel regret, but not because I didn't enjoy it. I feel regret because it was one of the most amazing feelings I've ever felt, and I can't process that. He slowly gets off me, running a hand through his hair. His face looks so hurt, so disappointed. I reach out for him. Hawk!
It's fine. It meant nothing,
he says coldly, putting his pants back on. My heart breaks in half. I just threw myself at him for him to tell me it was all for nothing. I thought it meant something. I thought we truly connected. I felt like he was opening up to me. But now that I can see more clearly, I can tell he used sex to avoid dealing with whatever I was chipping away at. I've ruined my relationship for a quick fuck with the bad boy who got under my skin, the way he does with everyone. He's right. No part of this was special at all.
Cole, just leave.
He shakes his head, walking towards the door. Panic hits me as I realize I've completely destroyed everything with two horrible, childish, impulsive decisions. I'm so hurt in totally different ways. I've just risked losing everything for someone who isn't willing to admit that this was anything at all. You're not going to say anything, are you? He peers down at the floor, raising his eyebrows almost in disbelief.
No, Cole. I won't if you don't want me to.
He sighs, raking his hand through his hair again. I quickly step into my clothes, feeling more naked and exposed than I ever have as I walk past him. Leaving the room, I go to close the door, but it creaks open a bit. I stand outside in the hall, seeing his silhouette through the crack. I watch him as he falls to his knees, his hands dragging down his face. He opens the bottom drawer to the desk where the shoebox is. He places his hand on it to open it, then quickly shuts the drawer, kicking it in with a loud bang before resting his head in his hands. Some secrets are buried so deep that the only way to find the truth is to discover the depths of the darkness yourself. 18. Three's a crowd. Distance. It's what we need. Space. Time away from each other to fully process what just happened. My mind is so foggy, so clouded when I'm near him that all rational thought gets thrown out the window. I need clear air to process just how wrong and horrible and awful this situation is. I sat in my room until Patrick came home from work, chewing my nails until there was nothing left to chew. I've never felt so nervous, so anxious, so disgusted by my careless actions. So confused. I have no idea what to do with these emotions. I seem to want what I can't have. I need what I don't know, and I know nothing. Mentally drained doesn't even begin to cover it. I knew I needed to tell Patrick, but how? When? Would he forgive me? Could we move past this? Did I want to? He comes in the door, cheery as ever, which doesn't help my situation. I was sick to death and worried that Hawk would decide against keeping our little secret and just blurt it out to him, simply for the fact that I had invaded his privacy, so he invaded mine. We had amazing sex and I gave her an orgasm. What have you done today?
Babe. Why are you so pale? Are you feeling all right?
He asks, taking his coat off and laying it on the corner of the bed. I place my hand on my forehead. Must have eaten something funny.
Well, I hope it passes soon,
he says with an excited grin. Why? What's going on?
Come with me.
He grabs my hand, pulling me out into the kitchen. My eyes nervously scour the scene for Hawk, but I breathe easy seeing he isn't out here. He's still in his room. I briefly wonder what he's been doing or thinking since our little encounter. Patrick leads me to the table as I take a seat. He walks over to his door, knocking a few times. I gasp, what are you? Hawk opens the door, peering out at Patrick, wearing a loosely fit black t-shirt and some gray sweatpants. He eyes him curiously before glancing over at me. God, he still looks so effortlessly good. And now, knowing everything that's under those clothes, I can almost see the imprint of the thing that was just deep inside me. I swallow bile. My face must be a shade of maroon with the heat I now feel in my cheeks.
What's up?
He asks casually, rubbing the back of his neck. My stomach is literally doing a full Olympic gymnastic floor routine inside of my body. I think I'm going to faint. Hawk's eyes sweep from me back to Patrick, and the concern there is evident. Either he thinks I told him, or he found out.
Come on out here for a second. We need to talk,
Patrick says with an easy smile. I gnaw at my bottom lip as we all sit around the kitchen table together. Hawk sits back into the seat, seemingly relaxed. My hands are sweating like crazy, tucked inside my sweatshirt.
I know what's been going on,
he begins. My face drops as all the air leaves the room. Hawk's eyes narrow, looking from me to Patrick.
You guys aren't really getting along,
he finishes. I inhale a breath for the first time in what feels like 2 hours.
I know it's hard having a new roommate and all, especially when you're both so different and having to share this space during the day, but I really want this to work for the time being. I want us all to be adults here.
I can't stand it when Patrick talks down to people like this, especially when it's me. We're being adults, Patrick. We're just giving each other much-needed space.
I don't know. Maybe he's right. Maybe we should put more effort into spending time together, get to really know each other. I mean, all we do is avoid each other, clearly.
He leans back in his chair, placing both of his hands on top of his head with a grin pulling at his lips. My eyes narrow at him from across the table. I know what he's doing. He's toying with me.
Exactly. Thank you, Hawk.
Patrick nods.
With me being gone so much with work lately, I'd hate to think it was awkward around here.
I scoff, rolling my eyes and looking towards the kitchen. Hawk's eyes are all over me from across the table. Why is he like this? Serious, sexual, then sadistic.
Come on, Nick.
Patrick scolds me.
Yeah, Nick.
Hawk says the name with a pop.
Maybe we can come together and be friends.
I'm not even going to pretend I didn't just catch what he did there. Cute, real cute. If my glare could shoot bullets, it would. Thank God Patrick is so oblivious. Ugh, I feel awful. He's trying so hard to make me happy. I know he is. He cares about me having to deal with this situation that he brought upon us. If only he knew. I grab Patrick's hands on the table and turn towards him with soft, pleading eyes. What I'd really love is some more time with you. Hawk rolls his eyes while Patrick smiles lovingly back at me.
Well, you're in luck.
He grins.
I got us all tickets to go see Divine Intervention in the City tomorrow night.
What? I ask, looking from him to Hawk. His face holds humor, amusement, and surprise.
Divine Intervention? They're a Christian rock band. They're on the rise. Anyway, I got tickets for the three of us. Figured we could leave when I get off work tomorrow. We can pick up some food on the way.
Patrick, I have to work. I shake my head.
Problem already solved. I called and asked if someone could cover for you, and John said he would figure something out.
I can see Hawk wanting to laugh as he listens. He's entirely entertained watching us interact, and I could kill him. I could literally kill him. I don't like that you did that. John's only saying that because he's a nice guy. Now he'll be crazy busy by himself trying to cover for me on a Saturday night. I sigh, feeling frustrated.
Nick, it's fine. This is important. We need this,
he replies.
Yeah, Nick, this will be good for all of us.
Hawk adds, his mischievous eyes narrowing in on me. I glare back at him. Whatever, I grumble, turning to face Patrick.
Great, this is good.
Patrick sits back, looking proudly at us both. This is going to be so bad.
You look fantastic,
Patrick says, coming up behind me in the mirror. I blush as I finish curling the last few pieces of my hair. I had no idea what to wear to a Christian rock concert, but I decided on a sunflower floral mini dress with a cute leather jacket, some thigh-high stockings, and some wedged black booties. I might look too risque for God rock, but here we are. Patrick's wearing a pair of jeans with a cream zip-up sweater and Doc Martens. I tease him for looking like a hedge fund kid, as he teases me for looking like a groupie. Our playful energy is back, and as horrible as I feel for the awful mistakes I've made, I'm just thankful we can be flirty and fun again for the time being. That is, until all hell is unleashed once the truth is finally out. We walk out into the kitchen area, his hands all over me as Hawk walks out of the bathroom. He styled his hair back with a few pieces hanging down. He's wearing black, ripped, fitted jeans with a dark gray t-shirt that clings to his muscular figure. Black combat boots with a few chains around his neck and rings to match. He smells amazing, like some sort of spicy aftershave-type cologne or whatever guys put on. My eyes take him in from head to toe, and I swallow down the heat that is rising within me. He looks edible in the way that toxic things usually are. He seems to have the same problem, standing there somewhat awkwardly, staring at me.
Ready to go?
Patrick asks excitedly. His hands are around my waist as we walk towards the door. He squeezes me as I squeal before he plants his lips on mine. Hawk watches us from behind, using a fist to his chin to crack his neck, then follows us to the car.
A Kia, huh?
Hawk says from the back seat as we start the hour drive to the city.
Yeah, I get it. Great gas mileage, though. Perfect for traveling for work.
I smile at him, squeezing his hand in mine as he picks it up and kisses my knuckles. God, I'm the worst. I can feel Hawk grinning behind my back with the knowledge of what just transpired moments before Patrick came home. I wonder if he's still thinking about it the same way I can't seem to stop thinking about it. His hands, his groans, his eyes, his face, his cock. The condom is probably still in the trash in his room. Jesus, I'm going to puke. We arrive at the venue, and it's not what I was expecting. I was ready for at least a bit of an edge, but all I see are men dressed like they're on their way to a golf tournament. Girls on their way to Sunday brunch. Sure, there are some people dressed a tad edgier, but even in my floral dress with a leather coat, I feel like the baddest gangster this side of Harlem. Hawk's expression says it all. He's walking around behind us with a brow cocked and a twisted face. My guess is his type of raves are nothing like this. We find a spot to stand in the open area, near the stage, when Patrick gets us all a few beers. Should I come with? You'll need help carrying—
No, babe, I got it. Just talk to Hawk.
He kisses my nose before turning away and heading towards the bar through the growing crowd of people. I grumble, then reluctantly face Hawk, who's smiling devilishly at me yet again. This is all a game to him. Toying with me and my emotions, the only goal. The crowd gets packed together as more and more people fill the small space before the stage. Hawk and I get pushed closer together. He holds his arms out, shielding me as a group of boys no older than 16 push past us. He settles behind me and takes the opportunity to wrap his arms around my waist, pulling me back into him. He nuzzles into my hair, finding my ear. I feel his warm, wet mouth surround my earlobe, sending a wave of pleasure below my waist. A breathy moan escapes me as his teeth drag on the sensitive tissue. I come to my senses, pushing him off me while he chuckles. What the hell do you think you're doing? Are you crazy? I ask, peering past him, ensuring Patrick is nowhere near.
Sorry, just saw something I liked.
He says with a cocked head, licking his bottom lip, toying with the ring. You can't do that, I scold. I turn back around to face the band, who's getting ready to start. Patrick rejoins us, passing beers around. He puts an arm around me, casually sipping his beer while the music starts up. The band is actually not that bad. I sway to the music as the rest of the crowd enjoys the catchy hook as well. I peek over at Hawk, who's standing back from us a bit, leaning against a pillar with a leg crossed casually, sipping his beer. A group of girls walk past him, giggling and flashing him looks. But he doesn't pay attention. His eyes are locked on where Patrick's hand is sliding down my waist. I really wish he'd focus on anything else. Patrick cups my ass with one hand, nuzzling my hair as he continues listening to the band. The awkwardness is becoming too much between the two, and I can feel Hawk's eyes on me like lasers. I get flushed, feeling as if I can't breathe, like the room is closing in on me. Or maybe it's just my conscience screaming at me. I'm going to grab some water. I'll be right back, I call out to Patrick over the music. He nods as I push out of the crowd. I walk past Hawk without looking or saying a word, and his head turns to follow me. Grabbing a glass of water from the back bar, I take a deep breath and relax some. I don't know if it was the crowd, Patrick's hands on me, or Hawk's eyes that had me feeling like I couldn't breathe, but I'm much less congested back here. I find a set of stairs leading towards the balcony and take them to get a better view of the band. It's nice up here, away from all of my problems. I'm guessing I'm not allowed because no one else is up here, but I'm loving the space. I finally feel like I can breathe. Leaning against the railing, I watch them rock out, singing their new song, Saved by Your Grace. It must be their hit song because the crowd sings along to every word. Gripping the railing with both palms, I feel someone's hands slide around my waist. I gasp at the sudden contact, unsure of who it might be. Happens when you have a boyfriend, but are also conveniently fucking your roommate. They pull me back into them, hands sliding down from my waist to my hips. I feel a hard body behind me and smell that delicious cologne as soon as I spot Patrick down in the crowd. What are you? He interrupts. His hands make their way to the front of my exposed thighs, slowly trailing their way up. We're hidden up here, in the dark, and no one is around us. This is a setup for something bad. I relax a little against him, taking a breath, leaning back, and enjoying the sensation of the bass beating through my chest as Hawk's fingers find the place where my legs meet. I moan when he touches me under my dress, his fingers circling the outside of my panties, driving me insane. He applies just the right amount of pressure. A devastatingly perfect amount, getting my heart rate up and my breathing irregular. The buildup is becoming too much. His other arm wraps around my waist, holding me in place as he presses himself firmly against my backside, letting me know just how aroused he is, too.
Oh, Jesus, you're all wet,
he whispers in my ear. Feeling the dampness from the outside of my panties, he continues stroking my slit with his finger. His words, the tone of his deep, raspy voice, and what his fingers are currently doing have me swirling in intoxicated lust. I blink my eyes, trying to wake myself up, when his lips find my ear again, his tongue trailing down my neck. No, I say breathlessly, pressing my ass back into his erection.
You want me to stop?
He breathes against me before planting open-mouthed kisses on the sensitive skin. Oh, yes, I moan, rolling my head back into him. His other hand dips inside my jacket, cupping my breast, his thumb flicking over my erect nipple. I shake my head, opening my eyes, seeing Patrick beneath us, watching the band. No, I say breathlessly. No! I grab his hands, throwing them down, then turn around and push him back against the wall. Stop! We have to stop this! This is insane! I finally come to my senses. I just can't function around him, and he knows it. If all he wants is to fuck around with someone, he's going to need to find someone else to do it with. Hard eyes find mine as a look of confusion washes over him. He shakes his head once before grabbing my upper arms, pulling me back towards him. Spinning us around abruptly so my back is against the wall, he presses his lips to mine. His lips are so soft yet burning for me. His tongue plunges into my mouth as his hands slide up and around the sides of my neck. He pins me against him as his lips seamlessly run against mine. Groaning into my mouth, he presses his erection against my thigh. It feels so good. Too good. So good that I know it's wrong. Huck, stop! I finally say, pushing him off me again. He stands there with his hands up, his eyes half-lidded and his mouth open, as if he was just as intoxicated as I was by our connection.
I'm sorry, you just weren't acting like you wanted me to stop.
Does the word no mean nothing to you?
Well, not when it's followed up with a moaning yes.
He grins his cocky side grin.
You're sending mixed signals.
How's this for a signal? I say, flipping him off.
Again?
He tips his head.
So soon?
His sarcasm is sending me into a rage. I head for the stairs, leaving him standing there with an amused face. Don't follow me, I warn, turning to see his sexy grin one last time. His hands are raised towards me, telling me he knows, hands off. I take a deep breath, trying to calm myself before walking back down to Patrick. I really need to get my priorities straight. I almost hit second base at a Christian rock concert. Hell is just a stone's throw away. 19. Chipping away.
Turn the brights off, crazy. You'll blind someone.
Hawk yells at me from the passenger seat. I throw him a quick glare before turning them off. I'm not used to driving Patrick's car and often forget how it works. After the concert ended, we made our way back home. Patrick asked if he could lie down in the back to catch up on some sleep. The sleep I'd been keeping from him with the apparent wild and crazy sex. Huck was more than willing to let him take the back so he could take the front with me. I groaned at the thought. Not only was he a horrible backseat driver, as you call them, he was also throwing little sexual innuendos in at every opportunity. I'm kind of over this asshole side of Hawk at the moment. I, however, wouldn't mind seeing Cameron again. Hearing Patrick lightly snoring in the back was the only thing keeping my head from spinning off inside of this car.
So, tell me, have you always liked Christian rock?
He asks, playing with one of his rings on his finger. I look over at him with knit brows and a twisted face. No. He laughs, showing off his white teeth. To be honest, the last concert I went to may surprise you, I reply.
Oh, okay, let me guess.
He sits up in the seat, facing me.
Jonas Brothers.
I give him my best glare at his smart-ass response.
Okay, not Jonas Brothers. How about Kelly Clarkson?
Jesus, you really think I'm a square, huh?
I mean, yeah.
He shrugs. Screw off, I scoff. No, the last concert I went to was last summer, Rockfest. I saw Disturbed with my sister. Hawk looks over at me like I said the most outlandish thing he's ever heard.
Disturbed? You?
He shakes his head.
I don't believe it.
Well, believe it, because it's true.
Damn, I had no idea you got down with the sickness,
he replies, gazing through the front windshield, still in shock. Yep, I get stupefied, I comment, adding to his humor. He chuckles to himself, muttering unbelievable beneath his breath.
How old's your sister?
He asks, changing the subject. She's 2 years older than me. Her name's Johanna. We couldn't be any more different, but at least we bond over music. I shrug.
So she's wild and reckless and you're cool and calculated.
He smiles. Pretty much, I nod. Has it been hard for you, being an only child? I ask with caution. He'd mentioned to me that he was an only child in our couch conversations. Only him and his dad for a while before he passed.
You mean to ask, has it been hard to be on my own with no one to have my back through some of the shittiest times in my life?
He pauses for a moment, looking at the dashboard.
Yeah, it has.
My heart breaks for him. Well, siblings aren't always all they're cracked up to be. Hell, when I told Johanna about you moving in, the only thing she could think about was that she was dying to visit to... I stopped myself from finishing the sentence. Remembering our conversation last week, I realized I should have never brought this up. Hawk becomes intrigued.
Dying to do what?
He smirks, trouble twinkling in his eyes. Forget I said anything.
She wants to fuck my brains out, lay it all on me, get some good dick with the bad boy roommate for the night.
He asks, making me blush at his crude use of verbiage. Basically.
So when is she visiting?
I smack his chest with my free hand, making him chuckle, then turn to the back seat. Patrick is still knocked out.
I mean, if she looks anything close to you, I'd call it a win.
I blush at his comment, attempting not to smile. She's way better looking, I admit. He stares at me from the corner of my eye, clearly taking inventory of the woman sitting next to him, possibly running down memory lane of my naked body in his bed. This is beyond uncomfortable.
Doubtful,
he says confidently.
But I guess it's better than nothing.
So classy, I scoff at his joke.
What, would that bother you?
He asks in a softer tone. What, you fucking my sister? I turn to face him, and he waits with a cocked brow. I sigh, facing the front again. Thinking about it for a moment, I realize it would bother me. But it shouldn't. I'm with Patrick. I have no claims to this man, nor do I ask for any. But if I'm being honest with myself, it bothers me. The problem is, I can't seem to be honest with him. No. Why would it? I'm in a serious relationship, and you're free to fuck whoever you want. Like you have been. He's silent for a moment, not retorting with some smart-ass comment like normal. My eyes slowly look over at him and find he's looking out of the windshield with a strange look about him. I suddenly regret my decision to not speak my truth. After a moment of silence, he says,
"You don't really expect me to believe that, do you?"
I look over at him, and his cocky smirk is back like it never left. All right, I begin, checking the back seat in the rearview mirror, then speaking softly. It would bother me. A little. There, is that what you wanted to hear? Are you happy now? He places his hands on the top of his head, kicking the seat back and slouching down with a content sigh.
Yep.
I roll my eyes at his smugness. He baited me, I was honest, and now I feel like a fool. Don't you have enough women on your plate awaiting a call? I ask in a condescending tone.
None that beg for it like you do?
He whispers in a hoarse voice, his grin growing by the second. Oh my God, piss off! He laughs, then toys with his lip ring. I know he loves getting under my skin. It literally gives him a hard-on.
You're a firecracker and you don't even know it, but it's okay. I'm patient.
He gives me a light head nod. What's that supposed to mean?
It means you don't even know who you are, yet you seemingly hold yourself back. I don't get it, but I'll be here when you figure it out.
His words hit something deep inside of me. The thought has come across my mind before. Wondering if I'm living a lie. Wondering if this life I've been so set on planning out is truly what I need, or if it's just become a habit. A comfortable habit that soothes me. How can he just see through me like this? It bothers me. Says the guy who holds everything in and fucks anything walking. He chuckles, Then his face grows somber.
That's different.
I look over at him and he's staring at me, side-eyed through his dark lashes. I see the sadness inside of him. In a look, I can feel that he's hurting in a place he doesn't let anyone see. Maybe he can feel I see a different side to him. He has this thing about him where he looks like he wants to tell me something, but is stopped by a force out of his control. Like he's praying I'll just guess it so he doesn't have to tell me. Okay, so we've established that sometimes sex means nothing to you. I try to continue some sort of conversation.
I don't fuck around that much.
Oh, like that one skinny brunette chick I walked in on? Or maybe the redhead at the door? Oh no, I bet it meant something with that blonde, curvy girl. Yep, I bet it was something with her. I taunt him like he taunts me.
You know, you pay pretty close attention for someone who supposedly doesn't care. You must think a lot about it.
He smirks, and I see the playfulness is back. I hear Patrick continue snoring behind me. I don't think about it at all. I smile smugly, lying through my teeth. I haven't stopped thinking about it.
It's okay if you want to think about me when you know.
He comments quietly, looking to the back seat, then back at me with that devilishly wicked grin. My mouth drops open as I gasp at his crudeness. He sits up in his seat, leaning into me, brushing the hair back behind my ear while cautiously keeping an eye on the back seat. I swallow at his closeness, closing my eyes at his touch, trying my best not to move and stay focused before I steer this car off the road.
Because I guarantee I'll be thinking about you, wrapped tightly around me, coming around my cock, as I jerk off in the shower tonight.
He whispers, his lip ring tickling my ear. My chest is rising and falling fast as his words intoxicate me again. Lust-filled seduction. No, not again. Put your seatbelt on, I stutter, all breathless and flustered. Why do his words tickle me between my legs? He opens his mouth and I just want to do bad things. I need him impulsively and I can't stand it. He does things to my hormones that I can't mentally process. He's bad. He's bad for me. He's a horrible temptation that I can't be around.
It's on.
He chuckles, clearly laughing at my inability to speak. I suppose you're making up for lost time, though, like Kid said.
What?
He straightens in his seat.
What did he tell you about me?
His tone changed from playful to angry in a matter of seconds. Only that you were making up for the last 5 years with all these women. He looks out the side window, running his hand through his hair as he blows out air.
It's not like that,
he says in a direct tone, facing the road. It's cool. It's just sex. It means nothing, right? I reply, using his words with a bit of a sarcastic edge to it. I'm not forgetting the fact that after what we did, he said it meant nothing. As bad as the situation is, it still meant something to me, even if I haven't figured out what that something is yet. He scoffs, then shakes his head, almost looking annoyed.
It can mean something sometimes.
He whispers after a slight pause, looking down at his rings again. He looks back up at me with a tight jaw and a sad expression, like what he's about to say hurts him in an unexplainable way.
It meant something with you.
His hand brushes against mine on the console, his pinky finger crossing over onto mine. The tiny gesture speaks volumes and instantly makes me feel emotional. I gaze back at him and feel the weight of timing and how it changes everything. It meant something to me too, I sigh, being honest. Patrick grunts from behind us, shifting in his sleep, and Hawk immediately sucks in a breath and pulls away from the contact. The feeling, so final, as if we'd both finally admitted there was something real there, that acknowledged the timing had taken away what we'd only just found. We finally got back to the house, the rest of the ride filled with silent questions. Questions that flogged my head. I felt more lost than ever, like my head and my heart weren't aligned like they once were. I was torn.
Home sweet home,
Hawk says sarcastically before getting out of the car and jogging into the place. I can't help but to watch him as he casually makes his way through the door. He's so effortlessly together. Confident. Sexy. It's really unfair how even in the way he lightly jogs, I see it. He's ridiculously attractive. There's just no denying it. I put the car in park and unbuckled my belt, turning to wake up Patrick. Heading inside the house, I head to our bedroom, changing into something more comfortable, when he comes up behind me.
Oh, sorry I fell asleep. I've been so tired lately.
I turn to face him, his sweet smile greeting me, his hands wrapping around my waist. What am I doing? I'm just awful. I love you, Patrick, I confess, holding his face in my hands, feeling the weight of guilt again. How could I do this to him? He's been nothing but sweet and amazing. He tries so hard to make things better in my life, and what do? I act like a child, impulsively acting out, doing whatever I want, no matter who it hurts.
I love you too.
He smiles back, his kind eyes like a knife to my heart.
I'm so happy with you and how things are.
I swallow a huge lump that's caught in my throat, feeling nothing but regret. It's breaking my heart knowing what I've done to him. He doesn't deserve this. I need to figure this shit out and be done with it.
I just want you to know that even if I'm going to be gone more, it's all for you. For us.
Wait, what? He sits down on the bed, pulling me to join him. Not this again.
I have another trip coming up.
My heart sinks.
Just a couple of days again, back in Colorado.
He pauses, looking at me with a sorrowful face.
Are you mad at me?
What am I supposed to say, Patrick? I can't do anything about it. If I complain, then I'm an annoying girlfriend who's being selfish, and if I don't, then I suffer internally. I run a hand through my hair, pulling it at the roots.
I know it isn't easy, but I'm trying to set up a life for us.
A life where you're on the road all the time and I'm alone? Maybe that's what your mom signed up for with your dad, but I never once expected this. This was never part of your plan. I thought you hated your dad being on the road when you were growing up. That's never something I wanted. I wanted you. That's why I moved here. That's why I left my life back home. To be here with you. Not by myself.
I know. I know you gave up everything. I know you don't have anyone here.
He grabs my hands, pulling them into his lap.
But I'm the one who's supporting your life choices, and I need this job to do that. I'm starting at the bottom, even if it is my father's company, and working my way up. To do that, I have to do bottom-level work.
He's doing it again, making me feel like nothing without knowing it. I understand. He's the breadwinner between us. But life to me isn't all about the looks and the money. I don't care about showing off wealth. I don't need the latest fashion or newest car. I don't need the biggest house on the block. I just wanted something real.
I leave next weekend, but I took some days off so we can spend more time together.
He shifts his head so he can look at me with his adorable smile. You did? I ask eagerly, feeling filled with a sliver of joy. He's trying. He's compromising for me. And I don't even deserve him.
Yep. And I might even have a little date planned for us.
Patrick, I bite down on my lower lip, holding the impending emotions. Really?
Just trying to keep you happy.
He wrinkles his nose while ruffling my hair playfully. We snuggle up and cuddle in bed together the rest of the night. Just the two of us, holding one another, watching some Netflix show on my laptop like we used to. I'm hopeful for something more. hopeful for some sort of change between us. Being here with him feels comforting, even if I don't deserve it. I fall into a deep sleep before I can even tell if the water in the bathroom ever turned on. 20. All in the eyes. The next few days were incredible. Patrick and I were our old selves again. Playful, constantly touching, kissing whenever possible, laughing all the time. It felt like the Patrick and Nick I used to know. We were reconnecting after finally being given the time we needed. I didn't see much of Hawk at all. He started his job at the mailing company, working third shift to start. He was gone the last few nights and slept most of the day, or left the house and was out with Kid or some girls. I honestly didn't know. I tried not to think about it, knowing I shouldn't. Our coffee meetings were non-existent the past few mornings. I'm not sure if that had to do with the fact that Patrick was off work and he just wanted to avoid being around us together or what. Maybe I was being bold for even thinking I had that effect on him. Maybe he was just sick of being around me. A part of me worried that I was still up early each morning with a sliver of hope he'd greet me with that easygoing smile. Patrick was really putting effort into making me feel loved. He took me out to dinner and wined and dined me. He bought me flowers. He bought me a new sweater. He held my hand and opened doors. It was surprisingly overwhelming, in the best way. I selfishly hadn't told him what happened between Hawk and I. Why? Because I was afraid. I was afraid of what the repercussions of that would mean. He'd leave me and never forgive me for my infidelities. I'd be homeless, on my own, he'd tell his family and everyone they knew through the church. Everyone in this town would know I was the whore that broke poor Patrick's heart. Everyone would hate me. Everything I'd known the last 4 years of my life would liquefy before me. I wouldn't know where to turn. I decided to bear my guilt, at least until I could process my next steps. Guilt is a funny thing, though. It's like a heavy cloud that follows you around. Sometimes, if you allow it, it floods you completely, leaving you feeling wet, drenched, and not worthy of the sun. I was working hard not to let my cloud flood me, but the shadowed space I'd become used to wasn't going anywhere. Tonight, we decided to stay in, watch movies, order a pizza, and be lazy. It's our last night together before he leaves for another 2 days. I got our slices on a couple plates in the kitchen when Hawk suddenly walks through the door.
Hey, what are you doing off already?
Patrick asks him from the couch. He moves into the kitchen, not looking towards me at all, but opens the cupboard above the fridge, grabbing the bottle of whiskey. I see a sliver of tatted skin under his shirt, right above his low-hanging jeans, and I immediately flush and look away. The sight only further reminds me of my hands dragging along that skin. He opens the bottle and swallows at least 5 shots worth of the dark liquid. He pulls the bottle down, looking over at Patrick while wiping his bottom lip with the back of his hand.
I quit. You just started,
Patrick retorts, turning around from the couch.
Yep, and now just ended.
He takes another pull. I look at him questionably, wanting him to see my eyes, to know I'm here for him. But he never looks my way. He's avoiding me, and I understand it, but also kind of hate it. Patrick gets up and joins us in the kitchen now.
You do know you need to keep a job too, don't you fucking tell me what I need to do.
Hawk snaps, pointing a finger into his chest. Something strange is happening. The energy in the room has shifted. I stand there with wide eyes watching their exchange.
I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but you know that if you don't keep that job, your parole officer will come asking about it, and I'll have to be honest.
Patrick explains calmly, a hint of authority in his tone that makes me narrow my eyes at him. Hawk glares at him, tightening his jaw and clenching his fist at his side. His breathing increases and he looks like a bull ready to charge, but something's holding him back. Why would Patrick ride him out like that? Aren't they supposed to be friends? Granted, Hawk isn't exactly holding up his end of the friendship when it comes to me. Hey, we don't need to say anything yet. Let's just let him figure it out, I say, walking between them, trying to intervene. I'm sure he has a backup plan. I look at Hawk with brows raised and his eyes finally connect with mine. His face softens a bit as he takes a breath and lets it out.
Yeah, I'll have it figured out,
he says, cooling off. He stares at me for a moment, trying to communicate without words. I have a feeling if Patrick wasn't here, he'd tell me what was wrong. But because he is, he's trapped and can't be who he wants to be around me. He can't open up.
Good. Problem solved. Now let's eat and watch this movie.
Patrick smiles, grabbing his plate of pizza.
Join us.
Hawk stands there, clenching his jaw with narrowed eyes as Patrick walks back over to the couch. You all right? I ask quietly. He blinks his eyes, shaking his head slightly, then snaps his head to look at me.
Never been better.
Want to talk about it? I ask, moving in closer. I hate the feeling that he's going through something and has no one to vent to.
No,
he responds blandly. He brushes past me while I sigh. I'm not going to push him, but I'm definitely curious about what just happened. I hate to imagine him keeping even more buried deep inside him with no one to open up to. He heads to his room, slamming the door as I chew on my bottom lip, releasing another regretful sigh. I join Patrick on the oversized couch, finishing our pizza slices. After we eat, I hit the lights, turning the movie on and hop back beside Patrick. He tickles my waist, making me playfully smack him, before pulling me into him, kissing that spot on my neck he loves so much. I don't know what Patrick is thinking, but he pulls me further between his legs, my back to his front, putting the blanket over us as his hands explore beneath it. I swallow nervously as his hand slowly moves down my shoulder and underneath my arm. His hand slides under, drifting over my ribcage before cupping my breast. I suck in a breath at the contact as his thumb brushes over my nipple. I adjust myself in the seat, and Patrick adjusts himself as well. I can feel him hard against my back. He's enjoying this little situation, that's quite clear, and he's getting bolder. Patrick's hands start becoming extremely friendly as the fingers of his other hand slip over my stomach, finding their way into the waistband of my leggings. He can't seriously be thinking about doing this right now. This is so unlike him. Anything outside of the bedroom has typically never happened. Missionary beneath the sheets is enough to do him in. His fingers slip under, sliding down until his hand is cupping all of me. I lick my lips, trying to calm my heart rate while looking down at the blanket. He begins slowly moving his middle finger up the length of me, making me shudder. Just as he touches me in my most sensitive place, I hear Hawk's door open. I suck in a breath as he comes out into the kitchen in some new off-green sweatpants, sans shirt, and decides now is the best time to come hang out with us. It's like he has a coal is wet radar. He plops down on the other end of the sectional with a pissed-off look about him. I hold Patrick's hand to stop his motions, feeling how inappropriate this is. But he shakes me off. Hawk glares over at us, and we connect eyes for a moment. I dart my eyes away immediately, but he keeps staring. Why now? Why did he decide to come out here? Luckily, from the position we're in, Patrick can't see him behind the back of my head. I shudder slightly, wincing my eyes as Patrick moves his fingers again. I blink my eyes open to Hawk, who's still looking in my direction, totally captivated by my weird behavior. He lifts his head a bit, narrowing his eyes while watching, chewing casually on his thumb. My eyelids flutter and my mouth drops open a tad as Patrick's fingers start circling my clit. I'm stuck, caught in one of the most awkward moments in my life, and I can't seem to do anything to change it because I don't want to make a scene. It would be so obvious what we're doing. The fact that Patrick is continuing this, knowing he is right there on the couch across from us, is crazy to me. Patrick is unaware of where my eyes are, but they are glued to Hawk's. His jaw flexes as Patrick pushes a finger into me. I let out a small, breathy moan as Hawk's eyes narrow dangerously as he's figuring it out. He knows what's happening, and I can't decipher if he likes what he sees or if he's bothered by it. He licks his lips, adjusting in his seat a bit, then tips his head back against the couch and stares at me dangerously. His tongue slips out of his mouth, toying with his lip ring as Patrick adds another finger. I bite my bottom lip as he begins fingering me on the couch. The sensation of his hand against my clit, while Hawk's eyes burn through me, has me on the edge of orgasm. I'm so close to letting go. My eyes never separate from his, so he has to know. I'm thinking about him. He's just watching it all unfold. This is so wrong. I'm enjoying the feeling of Patrick while imagining it's Hawk. I think of our uninhibited sex, the way he used his mouth on my body, finding those erogenous zones that he knew would get me off while pummeling into me with his massive cock again and again, making sure I came before him. Even at my release, he relentlessly took me past the edge, falling recklessly into a tailspin of sexual pleasure until he came along with me. I'm close now, remembering it all and dripping wet as Patrick continues playing with me. My mouth drops open again as my eyes seal tightly together and I fall into my orgasm, shuddering silently through it. Hawk stares at me with his lips parted. He's looking at me all crazy, impressed, but with a boldness about him. A cockiness in his eyes. I hate how much I like it. I hate that he knows it was all him. This is so beyond fucked up. The look quickly changes as Patrick withdraws his hand and nudges me a little to get up. I look at him, confused, before he excuses himself to go to the bathroom. I hear the sink turn on, and my heart drops to my stomach as a frown takes over my face. Hawk's face distorts as he looks towards the bathroom, clearly confused. Yeah, guess washing up after touching your partner isn't normal. Just another stab to the old heart. My emotions are all over the place. I'm feeling amazing while feeling embarrassed. I'm feeling confused by my emotional response to all of this, while somehow feeling this rush of excitement and lust by this odd, voyeuristic moment. Patrick and I are in a good place. We are supposed to be happy, especially after these past few days, but now I'm feeling anything but. I feel hurt, and now, to top it all off, I feel dirty. As if it finally clicks. Hawk shakes his head, looking completely disturbed. He looks from me to the bathroom door, then back again. A sorrowful look encompasses him before an angry one takes over. He leans forward towards where I'm sitting and touches my chin, running his thumb gently over my bottom lip.
I would have licked them clean,
he whispers into my ear, before backing into his position on the couch again.
Fuck him,
he mumbles. How even after I've finished, do his words make me tingle between my legs. Just the thought of him sucking me off his fingers makes me feel a yearning in the pit of my stomach. I should hate him for saying fuck him about Patrick in front of me. But it only makes me feel justified in knowing how messed up it is that he feels the need to clean himself after doing anything sexual with me. At the same time, I'm horrified and totally ashamed. I glare at him. My anger towards Patrick is now radiating off me, redirecting towards Hawk. I hate the fact that I feel this way about him even after trying not to. Hating that he seems to be the only one to get me there. Hating that Patrick can't seem to do it for me anymore since knowing Hawk. Hawk makes everything more complicated. Why didn't you just stay in your room? I whisper through